Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:38 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is May 4th. I thought we'd kick off today with oil. It was up again in here today, so we've definitely seen a significant rebound. Prices have doubled basically in the last week, coming off of the lows near the $10 level. But of course, one thing that we've seen on other occasions in different commodities over the course of maybe the last decade has been that occasionally when we see these extraordinary moves that tend to be very exaggerated, like the move that we saw in the April contract down to nearly negative $40, it usually marks a bottom. And I think that's basically what we've seen in the oil price. It's quite likely that we are at the low in terms of the oil price, but that doesn't mean that it's going to save a significant number of companies from going bust. The number of producers in the U.S. shale sector is incredibly diffuse, and the average cost of production is somewhere in the order of $55 to $60. So prices would have to rally meaningfully, and it's unlikely that they're going to be able to sustain a move up to the $60 level. That doesn't mean that we can't rally further. I continue to think that it's more likely than not we're going to range more than trend, and that even with the potential for additional upside, we're still likely to range. But that range is going to be extremely volatile on a percentage basis, because it could easily be anything from 100 to 200% from trough to peak. In the context of a market which used to trade at $120, then a move of $10 doesn't feel like a lot. But when the lower side of the range is $10, then we're talking about doubling easily or tripling easily off the lows. And I think that's basically what we're being presented with right now. Well, the fact that oil prices have been steadying, that has helped to support the energy sector. The larger companies dominate the stock market index, so they really didn't look back. They bottomed in March, and they've continued to march higher. But of course, that is really very influenced by companies like Exxon and Chevron, and they tend to rely more on natural gas than oil. And of course, with oil production moderating, natural gas production will also moderate. And natural gas prices have been low for a long time, and the reason that they've been low is specifically because of the ramping up of oil production. Now, natural gas prices have broken their sequence of lower rally highs now. That would suggest that we have a low of at least near-term significance, and potentially medium-term significance, considering just how low the price is, and against a background where energy is likely to be in a secular bear for a while, then we're going to see, or at least oil is going to be in a secular bear. Natural gas has been in a secular bear for a decade already, but I think it offers a good example now of what we can anticipate from oil, because the trough to peak swing in natural gas prices goes from about $1.50 to $5, which is in excess of 300%. Well, that more positive performance from the energy sector has helped the S&P 500 to squeeze out a positive return in here today, and so far it has continued to hold the sequence of higher reaction lows. I was thinking over the weekend that perhaps I hadn't been all that articulate in the big picture long-term audio. I do want to try and make a point in a more succinct fashion. Following a type 2 top formation, which is defined by a massive reaction against the prevailing trend, it's quite likely we get a counter trend rally. We've really just seen that, and arguably it ended last week, but we did not have follow through yet in here, at least today. After a type 2 top, it's quite normal to see half of the decline retraced, potentially even all of the decline retraced, and then we get a ranging sequence. Now, in the case of a secular bull market where we get a move like this, then the lows should hold. When we think about the purchasing power parity adjusted value for the S&P, then I think it's important to highlight that the index came all the way down to test the upper side of the underlying trading range. That trading range persisted, and in fact we don't get to see the, because it just did not last for long enough, but the nadir was at 300. I'm going to have to zoom in a bit further to see the upper side of the base form of the range, but we can see clearly that we've had a significant range in the region where the upper side of it was around 300, and now we've had two tests of that 300 level on the purchasing power parity adjusted index. So on an inflation adjusted basis, then the chances are that when we go back and think about just how much we could anticipate that the index should pull back, well, the chances are that 300 probably is the low for the S&P 500. But that then, when we look at a type 2 top formation, it's likely that we go in a ranging formation. Now, when we think about where that range might be, in an absolutely ideal scenario, that range could form between the 1,000-day and the 200-day moving averages. And right now, there's less than 400 points between those two averages. So it would be a comparatively narrow range in an ideal situation. The last thing we want to see is a sustained move below the 1,000-day moving average. That would really start to raise very important questions about the integrity of the decade-long trend, to the extent that it is still active. So where a range forms for the S&P is going to give us a lot of information. Now, we have to contrast the kind of pattern we have with the S&P to what we have in Europe, because the size of the pullback has been significantly greater, and there is the clear potential that we're going to now see the 200-day moving average fall down and through the 1,000-day moving average. Now, that is the clearest evidence one can have that you are in a bear market that is not short-term in nature. And the European index was down in a pretty dynamic manner over the course of the last few days. It was not able to hold its rally last week, and it was down again in here today. So it's increasingly likely that we are now seeing this trend rolling over. It wasn't quite able to unwind half of the overall decline. Now, when we think about, well, what does that really portend then for the European index? Well, we can look at this long-term range. The upper side of the range is at 450. The lower side of the range is at somewhere between 175 and 200. It got down to 250. And it's quite likely we're going to get a good deal of ranging going on. Now, the issue here is that a massive reaction against the prevailing trend can give way to some ranging. The size of that pullback, though, is much larger than the pullback relative to the preceding trend that we've seen in some of the better performing indices. And therefore, it's probably more hanging out to morph into an accelerated decline, which is a type 1 ending. It started up as a type 2 top. It may now be a type 1 bottom. Acceleration is a trend ending of undetermined duration above the March lows. And Europe in particular, considering the really rather extraordinary challenges that it represents, is very much in that mold. Now, when we look at small caps here also, there have been occasions over the last decade when the 200-day moving average came really close to the 1,000-day moving average, and we're there again. But the index, while being in positive territory in here today, it did pull back in a really quite dramatic fashion at the end of last week. So there's still the sequence of higher reaction lows. If it continues to hold that sequence of higher reaction lows, well, that's really positive, and it could potentially result in those two big moving averages not crossing over. But if they do cross over, and we start to see the 200-day moving average accelerating down through the 1,000-day moving average, well, then we have to conclude that that is the end of the bull market. That at least there would then be a much greater burden of proof to suggest that the market is still active. And the transportation index is probably where I think we could conclude the greatest pressure, or where the epicenter of risk resides. When we think about the transportation sector in terms of the tourism sector and airlines, or whether it is the shipping sector and global trade, or whether it is oil tankers and the absence of demand for oil, that all affects the transportation sector. And the size of the rally hasn't been especially impressive. And there's the potential that we are going to see the trend rolling over somewhat in here. Well, if that's the case, then it's quite likely transportation is going to at least go down and test the lows, and may in fact move even lower. That's where we have the greatest potential, I think, for additional downside. Then let's look at one of the sectors that is doing best. The Philadelphia Semiconductors Index has rebounded impressively from the region of that 1,000-day moving average, and it is still steady in the region of the 200-day moving average, despite the fact that we did have some pause of consolidation last week. I still think that there is potential that we're going to get some additional ranging here. You can't simply pull back by such an enormous amount over the course of such a short period of time and not do some damage to sentiment. One thing that is obviously going to be very much at the forefront of people's minds is how much support is the Federal Reserve in fact providing. Well, the size of the balance sheet is up to about $6.6 trillion, but the pace of purchases has moderated. The Federal Reserve will do whatever it takes to ensure that there is enough liquidity in the market that as is required, but so far they haven't been as aggressive as they had been in March. So they're certainly tailoring the assistance that they're giving. Now, eventually that is going to filter through into stock market sentiment, but perhaps we're not quite there yet. When we look at the Dow Jones, it pulled back violently over the course of the last couple of days, but again, it's another index that is still holding the sequence of higher reaction lows. Now, the mainland Chinese market is probably closed for, I think, another couple of days, but the H-share index opened up in a dynamic manner in here today. It still got the sequence of higher reaction lows, but it unwound most of its oversold condition relative to the trend mean, and it's a clear area of resistance now around 10,000, which had previously been support. So here we have another example of the very first example that we have from the chart seminar, which is where past support becomes future resistance. And now there's the potential that we could move lower from here. There was a statistic earlier on today where of all the property of commercial property transactions in Hong Kong in the first quarter, none originated with investors from mainland China. Well, that's an indication of just how much the lockdowns had affected investor sentiment. But, of course, that is also weighing heavily on the Hong Kong economy. And the underperformance of this index is a clear indication that China is probably not yet doing enough to really stimulate the economy. India in here today announced that they were easing some of their lockdowns. The stock market was lower, but they are making 400,000 hectares available for special economic zones, and they hope to have plans ready for that by the end of this month. India could potentially be one of the greatest beneficiaries of increasing global tensions between the USA and China, particularly because it has got a very large young population that really does need jobs. And migrating the textiles and low-end manufacturing out of China and into India is obviously going to be a significant push and pull from the perspective of international companies who have sourcing needs and need to try and diversify away from China. Of course, India first has to get over the coronavirus hiatus in terms of its economy, and also needs to repair its banking sector. What's, I think, particularly relevant is that the banks, having pulled back violently, have not rallied as much as the stock market and have pulled back today from the 25,000 point level. It really does need to hold support above the 20,000 level if we are going to conclude that we've seen the lows. And the banking sector has tended to lead the Indian market for most of the last decade, and I don't think there's any real reason to question that that isn't still the case. When we then think about Japan, the Nikkei has been closed since the 1st of May, but it is likely that 20,000 is going to be a bit of a Rubicon when it does open back up again. If we look at one of the futures, we can already see that 20,000 has represented an area of resistance, and it, I think, is going to be a bit of an ask to think that we're going to see it trading back above that level in the short term. I think the most likely scenario is that we're going to have some pause and consolidation for the vast majority of markets. Now, when we then think about other asset classes, well, gold has remained really quite steady, and it is still trading at a rather significant premium relative to silver, which was a little weaker in here, but it is at least still holding the lower side of this range. The Bitcoin market was a little bit steadier in here today. It is now finding support in the region of the 200-day moving average, and I think if it can sustain a move back above 10,000, then we're back in a medium-term demand-dominated environment, and the halving of the reward for mining the blocks is going to occur about 10 days from now. Actually, I think it's sooner than that. Generally, after halvenings, we've had substantial rallies in the price because it bolsters the limited supply argument, and prices are certainly firming ahead of that event. The dollar index was a little steadier in here today, bouncing from the region of the 200-day moving average, but it really would need to sustain a move back above 101 in order to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. The USA is printing money faster and has been much more aggressive in its assistance measures than other countries. And logically, that should weaken the currency, except for the fact that economic contractions the world over are probably worse than they are in the USA. The greatest pressure is coming to bear on emerging market currencies, and the Brazilian real was in additionally weak in here today, although it was not yet at a new low. The South African rand steadied somewhat from the 19 area, and it has now steadied from that area three occasions in the last month, so it would need to sustain a move, the dollar would need to sustain a move back above 119 in order to confirm that we're back in a period of demand dominance. And then we have the Turkish lira, which has in fact moved to a new low in here today. These are countries that are heavily indebted, they have a lot of US dollar denominated debt, their currencies are accelerating, have accelerated lower, still remain in downtrends. A number are very heavily dependent on commodity prices. Certainly oil prices are recovering, but the broader commodity index is probably more important in the medium term. It's very oversold at present. We continue to see evidence of steadying, but It's got a lot of work to do in order to really confirm we're back in a demand-dominated environment. One thing, though, that I think is worth highlighting is the answer to a lot of the economic ills that countries are presented with is that they need to stoke economic growth, and the classic way to do that is infrastructure development, and that is commodity intensive. So there is the potential that we've probably seen the low in terms of industrial resources, and it is only then a question of how long does it take before demand starts to pick back up. So to summarize, we have certainly had a very impressive rally over the course of the last 6 weeks. With these type 2 top formations, you get a period of right-hand extension more often than not. That suggests we're up for some ranging, and we may be close to the upper side of that range right now, with the lower side somewhere around the March lows. The weaker indices and stock market sectors will move to new lows. The stronger ones won't. And it's, in fact, those stock market sectors that sustain moves above their March lows and subsequently extend breakouts to new all-time highs or new recovery highs are likely to be those that lead us in a recovery. And so far, the primary candidates here are the bigger gold miners, probably to be followed by the junior gold miners, and then the semiconductors. When we see greater evidence of wider performance improvement in the stock market, then we can conclude perhaps that we're past the worst of it. But so far, there are still only a very isolated number of shares that are performing in a more robust fashion. I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.